So, lots of waiting going on this morning. Our talk during One Life is slightly different to a usual talk because we ask you to do some of the work. So we ask you to have a discussion around about what we're going to talk about. So we can do that in family groups. We can do that in church family groups. If you're not the type of person that likes to have a chat with somebody else, just put your head down and talk to God. He's ready to listen. Those of you at home, chat away. If you're on your own, do the same. Just ponder it. So I'm going to start with our reading. And our reading today is taken from Matthew 3, verses 1 to 12. John the Baptist prepares the way. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But then he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come in to where he was baptizing. He said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of those stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire. I baptize with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Wow, what a reading. So, today, we are continuing in our sermon series on the kingship of Jesus. And we're thinking about, I'm sure you've already caught hold of this, that all that's going on today, we are thinking about our awaited king. So today we're thinking about our awaited king. And we lit two candles on our Advent wreath. And we prayed about the prophets. Prophets are people who are specially called by God to deliver new messages from God to certain people. And our prayer today said, the prophets told the awaiting world that God would send a saviour who would bring peace. One of those prophets, Isaiah, said this, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, that was around 700 years before Jesus. 700 years. Yo, that's an awful lot of waiting. 700 years. Now, I don't know about you guys. I'm not very good at waiting. I have not got a lot of patience at all. As I've got older, it's getting a bit better. God's been working in me. He's been giving me a bit more patience, but I'm sad to say he's still got quite a lot of work to do within me. So, waiting, I think, is not easy, and it's not easy for lots of us. How many of you find waiting really hard? Ooh, gosh, so lots of you are really patient. I'm going to do it the other way around. How many of you are really, really patient? Ha! Ha! Got ya. So, it's not easy waiting, is it? Think about all those times when we get like a little bit agitated when we're waiting. How many of you children or husbands or wives have to stand in the supermarket with the trolley like this and wait because the person you're with has met somebody they know and they want to have a lovely chat in the middle of the supermarket despite how many people are going to huff and puff because you're blocking the baked beans? That waiting is not good, is it? Lots of us do that. How about waiting for a parcel to arrive? I bet lots of us are waiting for parcels. Waiting for a parcel to arrive, that's a little bit annoying, isn't it? Especially when they've promised to deliver it by a certain date and it doesn't happen. And what about the journey in the car? How many of you shout, "Are we nearly there yet?" And how long into your journey do you start that process? Sometimes it's a couple of minutes. We need to get out of Kettering before you can say, "Are we nearly there yet?" And grown-ups, how many of you start having smoke coming out of your ears and you're holding the steering wheel so tight your knuckles are gone white because you are stuck again at another set of temporary traffic lights? So I don't think we're very good at waiting. So here's your first question. How good are you at waiting? How does waiting make you feel? Do you feel cross and agitated? Or does waiting for something add to the excitement of what is to come? Have a chat about that. Okay, lovely. Lots of discussion about waiting. If you could just end your conversations. I think everybody's excited about what they're waiting for. Lovely. So we're in the second week of Advent, aren't we? Another time of waiting. Waiting to celebrate the birth of Jesus and all that that might mean to us. So what should we do with that time? If we think about waiting, we usually associate it with time going really slowly, don't we? With it dragging on. But actually, that time before Christmas, it doesn't go slowly, does it? It just really doesn't. It's like, oh gosh, is it December already? Oh gosh, is it 2 weeks before Christmas? Oh gosh. And during that period, we try and cram as much in as we possibly can, don't we? We don't sit there twiddling our thumbs thinking, oh, what shall I do? I'm waiting. We just ram it with stuff. So I was having a little think. No, I wasn't. I was wanting you to have a little think. This is your next question. I told you you were going to do the work. How do you spend the time leading up to Christmas? What needs to be done? And what events have you got planned? So that time, how do you spend it from now up until Christmas? What have you jammed in there? And what needs to be done? How do you spend your time? Have a chat or make a list in your head. Okay, I'm going to draw an end to your to-do lists. Hold those thoughts. So in our reading today, we meet John the Baptist, another prophet. Jesus was about to start his ministry and God had sent John to prepare the way, to prepare the people to meet Jesus as a man, but also as God. So I wonder what he told them to do. I wonder if he gave them a list. And I wonder if his list went something like this. Clean the house, put up the decorations, buy some gifts and wrap them, get your hair cut, new outfits, accept as many party invitations as you can, remember not to drink too much at the office party, get your turkey before they run out, buy a cake and bake a cake, goodness me. Bake a cake and buy far more food than you could possibly eat. I'm not too sure it would have been like that. And looking at our reading, I don't think clothes and food were really very important to John. So how did he want the people to prepare? What was that one voice in the wilderness asking people to do? He wanted them to prepare their hearts, to turn their hearts back to God. You see, they had become distracted by all the worldly things. They were worshipping other gods and they'd forgotten about the one true God. And I wondered how true that is of us in this time leading up for Christmas. What are the things that are important? Do we find ourselves caught up in the unimportant parts of Christmas instead of preparing ourselves to meet Jesus? Do we need to clear away all the clutter of the season and make our path straight? So my next question for you is, how can we do things differently this year? How can we do things differently? So just going to draw your conversations in to a close. Wonderful. So do we need to clear some space to reflect on all that he is and all that he's done for us? See, we have the privilege of knowing God's love for us, made real in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We have the privilege of living as free and forgiven people. We have the privilege of knowing that one day Jesus will come again and complete what he has begun. So what can we do with that time of waiting? What are we going to do with that time of waiting? Are we going to keep our eyes and our hearts firmly fixed on him? Or are we going to let the things of this world obstruct our way? How can we keep listening to that voice in the wilderness? So let us just end with a prayer. Father God, in this season of fun and busyness, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. Jesus, help us to be ready to meet you afresh. Holy Spirit, guide us away from the things that distract us from you. Keep us actively waiting for you until your return. In Jesus' name, I think we should have a big amen, don't you? Shall we have a big amen? Let's stand up and have a big amen. So our big amen starts right down here. Amen.